I know that we've been in the book of Nehemiah on Wednesday nights, but being with Memorial Day, it began to make me think of memories, and I would like to take you down one of my favorite memory thoughts. And some of you will know some of the names I'm about to mention, but it's showing your age when you remember these people. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and it's one of those chapters in the Bible that are a blessing to us, and we do hope that as the Philippian believers enjoyed it, you will also. But Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now as we think of some thoughts in which I was a recipient of your blessings, we pray, Lord, that it could be of encouragement to those that are listening this evening. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with our church. As we gather this Sunday, could it be a time of pure fellowship, and we just would enjoy it together. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. And we will continue reading in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've often believed that to be able to count on verse 19 as a blessing for the individual, he or she must be willing to do the previous verses, that of thinking upon the Lord, that of giving to the person that has gone forth to take the gospel. And I believe when you do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, he will bless you. Verse 13, I can do all things. Verse 19, but my God. In a number of places in the epistles, you find the two words, but God. Two incredible words when put together. I'd like to tell you the story of something that's special in my life as I remember back. It's called my Mr. Steak story. And I would like to narrate a story to those of you who are listening tonight. It's a true story, I know. Because it happened to me. Some of you have heard this story before, and I hope that you will enjoy in the retelling of it. Most of us, if we like a good story that we've seen in the way of a TV program or a movie, we like reruns. Well, for some of you, that's what this is a rerun. In 1971, I was a senior at Stevenson High School. I was looking for a job to earn some money for college, etc. My dad paid me $2 a week to do some cleaning at the church. I began my search at the McDonald's and Burger King on Van Dyke, just south of 18 Mile Road. Those particular restaurants are still there, but with no success. Of note, there were not nearly as many fast food restaurants in the area as there are today. Just south of these was a steakhouse called Mr. Steak. You may remember it, but you've had to be in Sterling Heights for a long time. I went in and applied and filled out an application and was hired on the spot to work as a dishwasher. I worked that night, and the manager told me he would call me when he had made up the schedule for the next week's hours. Well, the next week came and no call. So I went to see about any future hours, and also I wanted my pay for the one day I had worked. When I went in the restaurant and asked for the manager by name, I was informed that that manager had been fired. I was taken into the manager's office, and after telling him my story, I was told that he had no record of me or of the day that I had worked. But fortunately, one of the waitresses that had worked that night was working that afternoon, and she remembered me because, as she told the manager, we had silverware available all night. Then he gave me cash money for the night's work and had me fill out another application. After filling out the application, I placed it on his desk and left by the front door. I was barely to the car when the back door of the restaurant opened and the manager came running out and said, "Don't you want a job?" Well, to make a long story shorter, he told me the waitress had said to him to get me back, the sooner the better. I was going to be attending the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas, and would be leaving August the 17th, one day before my 18th birthday. At that time, Mr. Steak had placemats with a map of the United States and where they had their other franchises. Now, you would think that in Texas, there would be quite a few of this particular franchise, but there was only one in that huge state, and of course, that one was right in the middle of Arlington, Texas. My dad encouraged me to write and tell them I was coming in August, asking them if they needed any help. They responded and said yes, if I knew how to work in the kitchen gallery. And so the last couple of days in Michigan, I worked as a cook doing the side jobs. I traveled to Texas on Braniff Airlines with Lynn Long. Roy Johnson, one of the professors there at the college, and the man that was in charge of the ladies' dorm, he picked us up at Love Field. On Thursday, I registered for the draft in Dallas, Texas, across the street from where President Kennedy had been assassinated. On Friday, I looked for jobs at a number of places. I was considering Mr. Steak as the ace in the hole. On Saturday night, Kathy and Suzanne Dahman invited me to a church picnic. The picnic was hosted by the New York Avenue Baptist Church, and I believe, if memory serves me right, it was at Randall Mill Park. On Sunday morning, I went to church with Julie Jackson at Rolling Hills Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. It has since moved to Arlington, and now it's called the Pleasant View Baptist Church, where our friend Jim Foster is now a deacon. That Sunday night, I went to New York Avenue Baptist Church with Debbie Jones. Her parents had been longtime missionaries in Mexico, and I remember many days when I was cleaning the church, I would go into the junior room and dust mop the floor and rearrange the chairs. And there on the bulletin board, they had a number of prayer cards, and one of them was of the C.L. Jones family. And Debbie Jones was on that card, and I wondered about her quite often. And it's hard to believe that I would meet her there at school. Just as a thought for you car buffs, she had a little blue and white Cosmopolitan car. And she would be my ride to New York Avenue on many occasions. And then also my roommate, Vernon Swofford, attended there. And I would go with him quite often also. We support her brother, Danny Jones. He's been in Mexico for many years until a drug gang put a contract on his head, and he had to move back to Texas, where he has a Hispanic work there on the border of the border of Texas and Mexico. She was also in our wedding, Donna says. She was. She was Donna's maid of honor. But that was something that happened as the first week of my stay there in Texas. That night, I joined the New York Avenue Baptist Church. After all, they were Eaton Baptists. I knew that from the picnic. On Monday, I went to Mr. Stake and was told to report for work the very next day. Interestingly, I had filled out two applications at the Sterling Heights location, but I worked 9 months before I filled out an application to work at the Arlington location. You say, well, how did that come about? Well, we had a new manager who was a stickler for proper protocol, and going by the book on everything, he discovered that I did not have an application on file. So almost when I was getting ready to go home for the summer, he said, well, no, we need you to fill out an application. One of the neat things about my first manager there at Mr. Stake in Arlington was that he was a real chestnut. He and two students from UTA and I played chess after the lunch rush every day. It really helped my chess game. And I must admit, I enjoyed that a lot. Well, now back to the story. My problem was, how was I going to get to work? I did not have a car. And it was about 3 miles from the college dorms to the restaurant. Another problem was that classes let out at 11:45, and I needed to be at work as close to 12 noon as possible to help with the lunch rush. What to do? So on Tuesday after class, I walked to the road by the student parking lot and stuck out my thumb in the classic hitchhiking pose and hoped and prayed. Well, that very first day, Mel and Donna Rice Daves stopped by. Now, some of you may remember Donna Rice. She came to our church for many years, and she and her husband went out to Nebraska to begin a Baptist church and were out there for their whole ministry. And they stopped, and that very first day, they drove me to Mr. Stake. I thought, this is great. I have friends. They'll take me. And as we're getting there, they just simply said, well, we just happen to be visiting the college today, and we won't be able to do this anymore. That was kind of disappointing. Well, the next day, I went through the whole routine again. I went to the parking lot. I stood there, stuck out my thumb, and the first car that stopped said they were headed in the opposite direction towards Fort Worth. But the second car, well, upon hearing of my destination, told me to get in. I'll never forget Mr. Lunsford. He was from Oklahoma. He had children my age. He drove an old light green Ford Falcon. It was a very faithful car. As far as I know, we never had a problem. I knew the way from the college dorm to Mr. Steak. It was simple enough. Left on West Division, then left on Collins Drive, and a half mile down on the left side of the road was the restaurant. All started well. He turned left on West Division, heading in the right direction. But my heart stopped when he turned onto a street that I didn't know and started turning this direction, that direction, until I soon had absolutely no idea where I was. Now, remember, I've only been in Arlington for about a week. I've done very little traveling on any side streets, just the main roads. And suddenly I'm lost back in these subdivisions, and I'm wondering, where is he taking me and why is he taking me? If that wasn't bad enough, he pulled into an apartment complex and told me this is where he lived and said, "See you tomorrow." I just stared at him. I had absolutely no idea where I was and thought he must be in cahoots with my mother since I was hitchhiking. After a moment, that according to the good mystery novel seemed like an hour, he told me with a smile on his face to walk through a huge hole in the fence at which he was pointing that had been made by a car a short time before. Now, you ponder this. You're 18 years old, yet you have to get to work, and this man tells you, "I'm home," and you are to walk through a hole in the fence that had been made there by a car a few weeks before. So, I did. And on the other side of the fence was the back parking lot of Mr. Steak restaurant. The last thing I heard him say was to be by his car at the end of class and I could ride with him every day. Mr. Lunsford and I had the same last class Monday through Friday. What are the chances? Yes, I rode home with him every day that school year. From Mr. Steak on Van Dyke to Mr. Steak on Collins, only the Lord's hand could have brought all that to pass. Precious moments, like precious friends, are priceless. My parents had taught me to give. Even as a young boy, I was given a nickel or a dime to put in the church offering at Sunday school, and so I knew that that was something that you did. And when I began receiving gifts of money at birthdays or at Christmas, I was informed that a part of it was the Lord's. And when I, got the job working there at the church for $2 a week, I was to give a tithe. When I cut grass, and I did it at a number of homes, I was the tithe. My dad had gotten me a job a couple hours a day at a donut shop. I was the tithe. And when I got the job at Mr. Steak, I knew what I was supposed to do. I was the tithe. I believe it's important that we realize that we cannot outgive God. And I believe that the Lord worked all this hand in hand so that I would have a job there in my college days. May I say this, when I graduated in the May of 1975, I did not owe a penny. And my parents never helped in my tuition or room and board expenses. I paid for it all from the different jobs that I would work while I was attending the Bible Baptist Seminary. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Could I encourage you in your daily walk to walk close to the Lord? I believe this, that there are some things in the Christian faith that are very easy to do. And I believe one of the easiest things to do is to make sure that you give your tithes and offerings, because it's the right thing to do. The Bible tells us that we're to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Otherwise, we are stealing from God. And none of us want to think that we have stolen from God. It's not that He needs the money. It's that He wants to trust us. He puts us to the test to see what we are willing to do. So stand fast in the Lord, Paul told those believers of Philippi. Stay faithful, and it'll be a sweet-smelling odor to the Lord. I hope you enjoyed this little story. I always enjoy telling it, and I don't remember the last time I told it. So some of you, it may have been the first time, and for some of you, maybe it's your second or third time. And thank you for listening. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, we're excited about things that are going to be happening, first with the prayer meeting tomorrow at church, and then with the service on Sunday morning. May your people come rejoicing with the desire to serve you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and with thanksgiving, amen.